når noen har holdt på med vin siden 1141. Mulig de kan nå, men vi får sjekke. Hjertelig velkommen til en ny episode av Kjells Vinkjeller, og ikke minst Tom og Moratti Løvås sin drinkfeed. I dag, Tom, så har vi faktisk besøk, eller jo, vi har besøk.
Vi har så mye besøk.
Vi er i Norge, de kom fra Italia.
Helt riktig, vi har så mye besøk. Ja. Vi har et ektepar her.
Ja.
Som, nå skal vi straks slå over på engelsk.
Utenlandsk, ja.
Utenlandsk, som jeg vet at, at fruen her forstår, og hun snakker svensk.
Men vi skal, ja, forsiktig.
Vi skal være litt forsiktig med hva vi sier nå. Men for at alle skal være happy, så tror jeg vi bare kjører i gang på engelsk.
Ja,
så,
det kan vi notere.
It's a pleasure to welcome you guys here.
Thank you to you both for having us. We are very happy to be here, me and my...
Tak, tak. That was Swedish. No, it's working.
It's the same word.
I'm Scipione, Sofia's husband. Very pleased to meet you.
So, Sofia Ricasoli, mm-hmm. You are number 40 or 50 or something generation.
More in the 30 range, but 33rd, 34, yeah.
And your family has been doing this produced wine in Ricasoli on the Barolo estate in Tuscany since 1141, yeah. At least.
Good point.
meaning you have a vast heritage to take care of.
Yeah.
How is that? Because you are the new generation. You and your husband are taking more and more over after your father, who's still operational. Mm-hmm. But he wants to introduce you into the business. How do you feel about that?
Well, it's always a very complex question. You're not the first one asking me this, because. Being a family business and also a huge history and a huge legacy, there are always many, many emotions and many, many, many things coming to mind. I'm very happy. We are very lucky also because it's a beautiful business. So we're actually making a beautiful product in a beautiful place, in a beautiful land. So we cannot be but very happy and very lucky. I think my husband agrees on this. Then, of course, along with a history like this comes also a great responsibility. You obviously don't want to be the generation that makes it all crumble down. So that always is a thought. And then obviously there is a huge also responsibility towards a land that we have nurtured for so many centuries, and a community that is local, that is very rooted in the same place where we have been living and working all these centuries. And so you obviously owe them a lot of responsibility.
Was it like when you were born, you knew that this is going to be your task, or could you choose?
Well, you don't really know it since you are born, fortunately. You have some fun before. But I was always left the freedom to choose. Then, of course, even though your parents leave you all the freedom of the world, there's not just your parents. I mean, as a form of responsibility, as I said, it's history, it's legacy, it's the wider family, and it's the community and the people who have worked with your family for so many, many years. There's also an expectation coming with the job, but it comes very naturally. I mean, in the end, many people who work for generations in wineries, they're often born there. They're often very attached to the land and to the roots. So in the very end, I could never imagine myself doing something else in the end and be living somewhere else. And then I was very lucky to be able to study and work in a different field for some time. So I had my time to have my own experience.
But Scipione, did you picture yourself as a winemaking in the winemaking industry before you met Sofia?
Actually not. But basically, I grew up with a family which is from Piemonte historically, so quite close to good wines indeed. And when I met Sofia almost 15 years ago, I met her when she was 17, 18 years old. And once we met, I understood how much Broglio ecosystem was important for the family. So probably in the last 15 years, it has been divided. I would divide it in three parts. So the first 5 years of our relationship, it was more about dreaming about the future together, which is probably different from the wine industry. Then the second part, it's more linked to the fact that at some point we will do something in coming back, at least in Florence. And then the last 5 years, of course, after our marriage was clear to me, and I was very happy with that, because I think that's if you come to Broglio, really, if you stay at the terrace, you kind of breathe something which is unbelievable.
And now we have to drink some wine. And this is a really cool thing, because this wine we're going to taste now has been in Norway at the Monopoly since 1926.
Yes,
and Monopoly least. Started in 1922. Every Norwegian knows that, because that you grew up with knowing that. No, no, but that's almost, yeah, that's 100 years on the Monopoly in Norway. That's probably one of the oldest ones that we ever had.
I think it's one of the longest listed wine ever.
It should be. Yeah.
I don't know. Well, let's say it. Yeah,
so you're kind of, in Norway we like to call you Norgesven, the friend of Norwegians, the people that have stayed here for a long time. So this wine is a Norgesven, and I think a lot of people have seen it. Maybe they haven't tasted it, but they have seen it in the shelves because it's been there for 100 years. So it's a historical thing that we're doing here.
Yes, I think we're all going to pour it, and maybe
you can talk about what we are pouring, because we are in Tuscany.
Yes,
just to set the scene.
So Broglio is our vintage Chianti Classico, and you're tasting the new release, the new vintage. So it's a 2024, and it's the one that will be released at the Monopoly. Broglio obviously take its name from our estate's name, which completely revolves around the castle of Broglio, which is it's a beautiful place, but it's also the heart of my family and the heart of our winery. And this wine is our flagship wine, is our most important wine that we produce, because it comes from the grapes of all the vineyards of the estate. And therefore, it's a very complex wine to produce each year to guarantee the same style and the same quality, but keeping also the identity of the vintage. It's predominantly Sangiovese with a touch of complementary grapes. And what we search in this wine is always to guarantee also the perception of the fruit. This is very important to us. So although it has the minimum required aging that the appellation requires, the fruit, the emerging of the identity of the Sangiovese grape variety is extremely important to us. And therefore, we are always very careful in the use of wood. And so to keep the freshness, the crisp acidity of this wine, we call it in Italian croccante, which gives this idea of something crunchy you have exciting in your mouth.
Has it been like this the last 100 years? Is this do you use the same recipe to make the wine, or are you changing something?
Sangiovese, it's at the core of our wines since I think most of the centuries we have been making wine. But of course, the blends and the way we make wine has changed a lot. Undoubtedly, we are not only about history, but we do so much research and innovation and experimentations really at the winery. So we always try to put the tradition, to bring it with us into the future. And so the wines have undoubtedly evolved with us, with the winery itself. And so this regards also Broglio. So more freshness, more fruit nowadays. In the past, probably they used more oak. I know for sure that when my father took the lead of the winery in the beginning of the 90s, there was the use of the barrique, so a smaller kind of wood of cask. Nowadays we use tonneau, which are bigger and therefore have less impact and a more integrated impact of the wood on the wine. So we are very careful on that, and that has evolved a lot.
And Shifiana, do you concur? Do you like the Sangiovese grape? I mean, your family is from Piemonte.
Be careful. Yes.
Have you adapted to the Broglio style?
Absolutely. Of course, I cannot say anything different. let's say that Broglio, it's a wine for me that it's a wine you should profit with your family dinner. So it's the typical wine you should enjoy also during summer days, I would say, because summer in Broglio, it's always some fresh. At least, probably in the last couple of years, not. But in Broglio, since we have a different altitude, so for example, the Castello is at 500 meters altitude. You always have some freshness in the air, and in the evening, in some cases, you need some pools. And so, I think that's the perfect wine also for enjoying summer evening in Tuscany.
I love enjoying summer evening in Tuscany. So this is going straight home with me.
Yes, but I found it very intriguing, this wine.
It's got a lot of fruit. Yeah, and a little bit of tannins, but not over tannin. It's
very balanced.
And you have the cherry notes that smell Sangiovese.
I had the pleasure of enjoying this also to a meal recently, and it was... perfect with the typical Tuscan food that you get with the cured ham and cheeses and of course the meat.
You're the 34th or the 33rd of the your generation, and you've been making wine since 11th century. What does the future look like?
Well, the future is always complex to see, but I think we have, my father has laid down a very contemporary vision for the winery. And so I like to think that it's still very contemporary and very a vision that really looks into the future. So he's a man who has always believed, and I hope I'm doing justice to him, and he won't be angry with me when I come back to Italy, but he has always been a man very focused on balance. And I think that in the end, balance is a bit the formula for everything in life. And so even for our wines, for him, the guidance in style for our wines, for our winery, has always been elegance. And in the end, you find elegance in the balance of all the elements in a wine. And I think that this can still be the guiding, I would say, value for our winery and for the style and identity of the Ricasoli family and winery. And then we will see what the future will bring us. But we can never stop really trying. Experimenting is the key. Not all experimentation has positive outcomes. That's part of the job. But to keep doing it all the time, so to never stop at history and just tradition.
But it's getting hotter. So what's your struggle around making wines and exporting wines or selling wines? I feel like all the Mediterranean countries have some difficulties. How do you look at that?
Yeah, I think maybe mainly Mediterranean countries have more struggles in relation to climate change because we are so much affected. But then all over the world, on the sales part, of course, the market is having more trouble nowadays. On the climate change part, we are now adapting with methods that are actually, they're small steps, and they may seem like small activities, but they do a lot in the end in the vineyard. So we are very careful about pruning and cutting the leaves or our plants, the canopy. So just by reducing the cutting of the canopy, which seems like something so small, so little, you make a huge amount of change. And then one thing that is very important for the Chianti Classico appellation as a whole is, I think, climate change is happening there too, but we are not being affected as much by the change in the fact that we still have hectares and hectares of woodland. Of those approximately 72,000 of hectares that Chianti Classico is, in the end only 10,000 approximately are vineyards. And that woodlands keep the biodiversity, but also keep the temperatures lower, the humidity. It really helps. And we still have very good water reserves. themselves. So when we are talking high temperatures, like this summer, for example, that has been affecting all the Mediterranean countries, we still have winters and spring with a lot of water, and we have good water reserves. So the high temperatures do not affect in terms of drought, but more like sunburning the skin of the grapes. So each and one of us are affected in a different way. And I think we still have many ways to, very traditional, by the way, it's very interesting, ways to combat climate change.
Skal vi da gå over på den norske delen? Vi må takke, du kan få takke, du så kjempegod på å takke, Tom.
Yes, of course we have to, to give huge thanks to our happy couple.
Thank you for having us both. And yeah, we're very happy to be in Norway and to meet you.
Yeah, and
thank you very much.
And I know that you're going to see a little bit more of Norway, and only a short trip this time, and maybe longer next time. Ja, vi må opp på norsk igjen.
Vi må opp på norsk, der vi best. Dette har vært gøy, og grunnen til at det gøy jo for det første at vi har en vingård som holdt på siden 1100-tallet. Det for vi, du og jeg som var glad I historie, så jo det helt koko.
Det ganske vilt, egentlig.
Det så lenge siden at 1100-tallet I Norge, da var vel Kong Sverre, det hadde ikke blitt født en gang, så det jo veldig lenge siden. Og at de har vært på poli I 100 år, det en bragd I seg selv. Det vil si at det jo veldig mange som har lyst til å komme inn på polet av produsenter fra hele verden, men disse her har vært inne, ikke nødvendigvis I hylla til alle år, men de har vært inne på mulighet I å bli kjøpt.
Ja, de har vært tilgjengelige
på polet I 100 år, og det særs få som har den historien, og det gøy. Så nå har ikke jeg skannet flaska, så jeg sitter så langt unna flaska, Tom, så du som vet hva ting kan koste oss slikt, men det gøy å se de lange linjene, og det få som har så lange linjer som Broli og Ricasoli-familien, så dette her gøy.
Ja, det vi har smakt da, som vi skrøt og fælta I sted, ja. Og vi jo enige om at det en god vin. Du og jeg enige om det.
Vi alltid enige.
Ja, italienerne får prøve å si det, fordi jeg lagde den, så det ikke lov. Men vi kan si det.
Ja.
Det altså Ricasoli, det Broli og 2024 vi har hatt I glasset her nå. Chianti Classico selvfølgelig og altså denne finner du på ja på polet rett og slett det bare å gå til nærmeste polet og be om den
ja.
Eller du kan selvfølgelig bestille den det også lov men ja. Den jo
vet du hva den koster det prøvde jeg å kaste litt ball med deg men du sitter
ja,
på noe
ja det greia at de vil bytte priser akkurat nå så hvis du går på polet og polsidene nå så koster det noe helt annet enn det som
ja,
står der
ja det fint da kan folk finne ut av det
ja det kan de finne ut
men Chianti Classico har jo de har hatt litt utfordringer med å bli fotfestige I Norge selv om disse har vært der I 100 år men Italien det jo det landet vi kjøper mest vin av. Toskana vel nummer 3 eller nummer 4 på lista, så det bør ikke være umulig å få tak I.
Neida, det ikke umulig å få tak I, og det klart. Familien Ricasoli har jo vært der, da, som du sier, siden Mjøsa brant, så det lett å finne de også, hvis ja. Man leit litt.
Så lurer på noen som har holdt på med vin lenge, så tar du en flask fra 1100-tallet. Med det så runder vi av. Jeg heter Kjell Gabriel Henriks.
Tom og Merete Løvås.
Ha en fantastisk dag videre. Ha det bra!